Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody, for the conclusion of our 2022-2023 preview shows. This is our preseason bracketology. If you look for any of our other preseason podcasts, they're up there in the season previews tab. Preseason bracketology, I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined, first of all, by a cast of thousands here. David Griggs and John Slika to my sides. David Dorman below me in the center square. To his sides, Matt Zukowski, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. Down at the bottom row, we got John Tytel. Our colleague Joby Fortson may even be jumping on a little bit later as we go through this show. So a ton of Hoops HDers here tonight. We
got pretty much everybody.
Most of us, absolutely. And yeah. This is our preseason bracketology show. And what we're going to do in this show and what I've done, something I did before the show, is I put together a bracket as if this was Selection Sunday. I put everything together on my personal picks. And I'm going to give you guys all an opportunity to rip it apart as we reveal it line team by team and eventually line by line, just like we do later on in the seasons with our bracketology bracket. What do we call the bracket rundown shows? Or
bracket like rundown. Rigs.
Okay.
Yeah.
However,
we will be getting those next week on Wednesday.
Bracket rundowns.
Yeah, bracket rundowns.
I'm gonna have to be out for that podcast, but yeah, sure, whatever you want. Whatever.
Thursday,
whatever you want to do, Greg. You can do whatever shows you want. I'm just not gonna be part of that. But I'm gonna start by pulling up the workbook. And before we get to the bracket, though, I want to start with one of our favorite things that we do throughout this season.
I love this. Yes. Here we go.
There it is. It's a blind resume.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta ask you, Tytel, let me ask you, which resume do you like better right now?
Based on the number of road games in November, I'm going right.
Oh, okay, right for the number of road games in November. I'm not sure what else we go by here. Let's go ahead and reveal the teams. We're not gonna spend too long on this. Yes, that is Kansas. Defending national champions on the left. Delaware State, the worst team in D1 last year on the right. I think actually just to our point, as we are right here right now, everybody's even. And there's not much difference between these resumes, is there?
Yeah. Personally, I was hoping to see Chicago State because I know Chad apparently has interest in season tickets for them.
There are four home games this year.
Tickets
are available, we think. We tried to track some down, and they wouldn't let anybody buy them. Is that what happened?
You can't buy them on the website. There's that wonderful schedule for Chicago State. Very impressive. Four home games against D1 competition all season. And they'll be done with them other than a Hartford game by the first week of December.
They're playing East-West University. East-West University is on the schedule. An inner-city war.
Okay, that's enough, Griggs. Okay.
They're road warriors.
Let's get to the bracket here. This is our bracket. You can see the seed numbers. What I'm going to do is start by just bringing our teams in one by one, asking people to comment for the first 16 teams that we call the protected seeds. I'll do them one at a time. Then we'll go one line at a time. But without any further ado here, Rocco, I have number one overall being the North Carolina Tar Heels. Do you agree? Do you not agree?
It's hard to build a strong argument against you. North Carolina brings back the core, Baycott, an unstoppable force. I actually have them as a two in mind, but it's really hard to argue against you putting them one. I think they're number one in the polls too. So no strong argument.
Yeah. And Dorman, this is a loaded team this year as well, the Tar Heels.
Yeah, like Rocco said, they bring back the Baycott down low, and he was – so great last year, the guards and Love, and they have it all. And the way they finished the season last year, hard to argue with Caroline on the one line.
And I have them going to the South region playing in Losiville, apparently. We got a major typo on the page up there. So
that's okay. I just watched their exhibition game.
They may want to rename the.
Yeah, you might want to just rename the city.
Number two overall, Tytel. I have Gonzaga number two overall.
Hard to argue. Solid coach, solid roster, player of the year candidate, and Drew Timmy. I think they have a challenging little schedule this year as they've been improving year to year. I hope to be there in Vegas in late March. Hopefully I'll get to report in person, but I think it's a solid pick, Chad.
Yeah, and they would be running that route from Sacramento to Vegas, staying out west. Sorry, Griggs, you had a comment?
I really like this Gonzaga team. I was just going to echo a tough little schedule this year. They always put together a gauntlet of an out-of-conference schedule, I think. So,
yeah.
They did not – I know it's an exhibition game. They played a charity game against Tennessee. Defense was not the best, and they actually, in the last 8 minutes, just kind of got blown out of the place. Now, I know you can't read much into that, but they have already played.
That game will not be on the team sheet anywhere, right, and will not be factored in by the committee in any way whatsoever. So, no. Salika, number three overall, I have Houston. What are your thoughts on them?
I think this is a team that's could end up in the Final Four, but based on their schedule, they're going to be playing in the American. I don't know if this is going to be because Houston does get a one seed. They could ultimately wind up with a two or three seed, but there are multiple roads into Rome.
Yeah, but Rocco, with this Houston team, it's they should be able to blow through the American, and that record itself may push them up to the one line, was my thought on them.
Can we pull up their schedule, Chad?
Sure.
Yeah, and Chad, I think their non-conference would have been stronger, but the majority of the top 100 was scared to schedule them. No team was more feared in scheduling than this Houston Cougar team, and they're absolutely loaded. They can do the exact same gaming of the system that Gonzaga usually does every year, and that's why I put them number one overall on my bracket.
Okay, there you go. And you see that, but. But great, they play at Oregon, they play at Virginia, they got a home game against Bama, yeah. They got St. Mary's. There are good games in here.
Yeah, there are good games. They don't – well, again, when you're talking about a one seed, it doesn't matter what your schedule is. But one of the benchmarks that I always look for is, did you beat a protected seed on the road? They may not get the chance to. Now, that's not a disqualifier. We saw Wichita State from an under-the-radar conference 1 year end up with a one seed with a schedule that wasn't as strong as this. But they pretty much – I think to get on the one line, they get maybe two losses, if that. Now, they're good enough, to be fair. They are absolutely good enough to play this entire schedule and only lose one or two. But I just don't think they get that many strikes.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's go here to number four overall. Tytel, I've got Kentucky sitting here at number four overall.
Well, I saw Coach Calipari was just quoted as saying his team is not ready for prime time just yet, but obviously we haven't even started compiling the team sheets because the countdown clock is still going. So when you have a team with a bunch of freshmen, that's fine. I assume Shibuya will be healthy in the near future, if not already. And I think Sevier Wheeler was walked off the court the other day, but I think he should be okay. So when healthy and after you get the freshmen some seasoning, I think this is a very good one-line pick.
Yeah. Another thing about Kentucky, and this happens every year, and every year everybody forgets it, they don't typically start off going 100 miles an hour. They get up to 100 miles an hour. Up until the St. Peter's game, they were certainly firing on all cylinders last year. But it isn't unusual to see them drop games early, and sometimes they drop games to teams you would not expect them to lose to or really have to sweat out games, even against under-the-radar teams. So even if Kentucky loses a game or two early in November, I still think they can get up on the one line.
Dorman, starting off the two line here, that would be Baylor at the top of the two line, number five overall in the Midwest. Obviously, narrowly beating out their conference mate, and it was kind of a coin flip between them and Kansas, but I went with Baylor here.
Definitely deserving. I'm right with you. Kansas and Baylor right here, flip-flop. We could argue it back and forth, but until we have any games, I see no reason why you're wrong, and I had Baylor there as well, Chad.
And be a fascinating Midwest championship, Houston and Baylor in-state rivalry there.
Oh,
and
yes.
Next year will be a awesome conference game. Yep. Salika, number six overall, as mentioned, there is Kansas, defending national champions.
We can see right here another incentive for Kansas to win the Big 12, so at least they would get the edge to a place like Kansas City, even though New York City would not be that bad of a consolation prize as far as where they go in the, as far as which region they'll end up in.
Yeah, there was some bracketing issues that actually forced me to push Kansas to the East region instead of the South region, though Louisville would be a little bit closer to them geographically. Just with the rest of this two line, which who are we up to here? Rocco, the next team I had up on the two line was UCLA, though, in the West region there.
That's exactly where I got the Bruins right now.
Okay.
I think if I didn't snap the chalk a couple of days ago, I think the more I think about UCLA, I might actually put them above Kansas. But it's preseason. They're both two seeds. I'm very, very good with where you have them.
Yeah, Titel, you're a Pac-12 guy also. Do you agree that UCLA is looking like a two seed heading into the season?
Oh, am I? Yes, of course they are. Jaquez just had a very good game, and Tiger Campbell, I think they both each scored almost 20 points the other day in exhibition play. I'm sure that they love the idea of being in Sacramento in the same state and then Vegas in the same place where the Pac-12 tourney is played. As to memories of the last time they played Gonzaga in a good game in March with a spot in the championship game on a line, I hope they forget that because it did not end well for them.
Yeah. And Griggs here, I think probably after this is what they obviously they're going to start getting a little more controversial on this show here, but
yeah, it's pretty chalky so far.
Let's go with Tennessee, who I really like heading into the season here. My second SEC team, it has a two seed, just barely.
Looking really good. We mentioned them earlier in their preseason exhibition game that doesn't count against Gonzaga, but I'm really excited about the Vols this year. I think they're going to really come out strong in November, look great in December, fantastic January, February, and then around March 13th or so, they're just going to kind of trip up and lose in their
third. That might be just about it, though. Sleek, let me have you start off the three line here, where I have, and actually, maybe let me go with Dorman and Titel, then I'll come back to you for the next team, Sleek. I've got the Arizona Wildcats here right at the top of the three line. Dorman, let me start with you, and Titel, I'll ask you as well.
Exactly where I have them. I think this team is going to be very good. I think we will get better and stronger as the year goes on. We have to figure out who our go-to scorer is going to be with Benedict Mathurin gone. But I believe Tommy Lloyd will have his team ready. And like I said, stronger come February and March, exactly where I have them pegged on the three line.
Titel, your thoughts also? I know you're an Arizona alum as well.
I do like to downplay them so as to not raise the bar too high. And having lost not one, not two, but three guys to the draft last year, I think this is a bit high. I think the ACC is wondering, when am I going to get another team, Chad?
Oh, when are they going to get another team here? Well, Sleek, let me go back to you now here for the next team up. How about another ACC team right there? The two Blue Devils.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a tempered expectations compared to years past. Of course, if you think that Duke is going to disappear just because Mike Krzyzewski has sailed off into the sunset after back-to-back devastating losses against Carolina, you're begging. But it is kind of weird to see them in Albany as opposed to Greensboro, but that's because North Carolina and Tennessee would get precedence in this bracket.
I have to give a big apology here. There's only six faces on my screen, and Matt, I know you're on the podcast, and I really apologize. I think I skipped you for a few teams here.
That's okay. Actually, this is about the first time I'm totally ready to chime in. Is I would have an ACC team here, but it would not be Duke.
Okay. You want to tell me who I'm missing? I think I know where he's going, but go ahead.
It would be our colleague, Mr. Fortson's Cavaliers. I think they rebounded a big way this year, returning everyone. And then I think playing just right, sprinkling one or two transfers, one or two freshmen. I think that's going to be a key of the right formula. If teams I like this year actually have a lot of continuity and then sprinkle a little bit in freshman-wise, transfer-wise, and are not necessarily trying to do the rosters, which is why I wouldn't have Duke this high.
The one thing I want to say in response to Stalika, I think it makes sense keeping Duke in their geographic region, Albany, very close to New Jersey. So that's where we would send.
As is New York City for the East region.
Yeah, as is New York City. So that is a perfect place for Duke.
Matt, let me stick with you here to make up for it. How about 11 overall? I have the Texas Longhorns.
Not too crazy. Listen, I have them on my four line. But so I think they're going to be good this year. The one is how good, basically. Can they put it in the bucket, and can they put it in the bucket from three? That'll be defense, they'll guard. They have a really nice defensive setup. It's basically, can Tyrese Hunter make shots? I don't know. Dylan Mitchell, though, is not known for it. Someone and that are even not traditionally. Dylan Dixon, I think, actually can stretch the floor a little bit as a big guy. But him and then Marcus Carr, who's going to make shots? That'll basically be, is Texas a 2-3 seed? Are they a 5-6 seed? Or is it maybe like in between, I have before, where maybe like some games are hot, and if they even remotely are efficient offensively, they'll win because they'll be so good defensively.
Chad, but I do have a
question. They're not scoring, they'll be in some trouble.
Chad, I have a question for you. Yeah. I went back and looked, and really all the way back to the days at Little Rock, at Chris Beard, always 100% of the time exceeding preseason expectations, regardless of where they were. Did that factor in the fact that they're always better?
I actually like this Texas team a lot this year. That's what yeah. also factored in here. If they exceed expectations for me, they'll probably be a 2 seed or a 1 seed. Rocco, let me finish off my three line. And this might be what be a surprise here, but it's a team that I think is going to have one of those monster records.
Whoa.
And that's why I have them this high. And I'm going to get creamed for doing this, but I threw Dayton up there.
Wow.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. I would love to see it. I just think with the injury to Molly Smith, it's going to be tough for them to steamroll through. Obviously, they're in the battle for Atlantis, which is going to be probably three pretty darn tough games.
But also, that is the injury.
Yeah, they've got some other really good non-conference games too, like Wyoming's in there and a few others. So and Virginia Tech. So I just feel like they're going to stub their toe a couple times with that wall shorthanded. Probably ruins their chances to get up to a 3 seed.
Yeah, Chad, pull up there. Yeah, okay. Rocco's got a good point. Like, and I don't know how – well, of course, again, we're just sort of guessing. But if the forecast plays out the way that it does, the battle for Atlantis is hugely important for – their paper and getting them up into the protected seed range. And are they good enough to do it without the injury? And if they don't, if they come up short, will blowing through the A-10, which is a pretty decent conference, be enough to get them all the way up this high?
Stalika, your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as Dayton up here, I know Chad has also been high on St. Bonaventure in years recently, I do
always overrate the A-10. You can blame me. I will confess to that.
Now, I will also weigh in on one other thing. I've also noticed you have a Dayton placed in Albany and not Columbus, because we've only used Columbus once in this bracket here, at least that I can see. So I'm going to need an explanation on that.
Yeah, well, I wanted to smack him around a bit. It's preseason here. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
They're already mad, Chad.
Even though
you give them
Dorman. Oh, it's going to be blowing up our inbox. That's Chad Sherwood Gmail.
Dorman, how about Creighton as our top 4 seed here? Our first Big East team. Yeah.
I was about to get on you because I had them actually as high as a 3 seed on the 3 line. I had them just ahead of Dayton. I am very high on Dayton, but I'm also concerned about the out of conference, how many losses they might pile up. But I think this Creighton team is fantastic. McDermott is a great coach, and he's a great tournament coach. And Creighton has big-time aspirations this year. And if they play up to the level that McDermott thinks he can, this team could go to the Final Four.
McDermott's a great tournament coach?
Yes.
I always thought the tournament was his Achilles heel.
He's been very solid.
Yeah.
Sweet 16, but he has never really had the talent that he has this year. And I don't think the Big East is as top heavy as they've been. I think Villanova will be down a little. I don't think there's such star power in the Big East as there has. I think Creighton's going to have a big time year, and Creighton is going to have a good March.
All right. Titel, number 14 overall. How about Jamie Dixon's Horned Frogs?
I hope that now that they don't have to play Arizona in the tournament and give me a heart attack, I'm happy to let them do their thing. Tough matchup with the Gonzaga, though. I don't think they can pull that off, although at least they get to hang out in Orlando in March. And I think this is good. I as much as Rocco loves Houston, I think TCU is not the best team in Texas, but it's going to be very good this year. And I think that's solid, although I got to tell you, like, I don't know, like, what you have against Joby, but like, where is Virginia, Chad?
Where is Virginia? I'm not certain where Virginia is. Maybe I got to put them where Dayton is.
It's just east of Kentucky. It's just
Matt, east of Matt, Virginia. You've wanted that. Everyone's been dying for them. There's Virginia going to Orlando. Matt, you already addressed
another matchup with Houston, which, man, dang. That's one of those first to 55 wins if they play. But I think Virginia rebounds a strong. Well, listen, I have them as a 3 seed in my bracket and number 2 team in the ACC. I think they're going to give Carolina a run for it in the regular season, but Carolina ultimately probably wins by a game or two. But Virginia's going to be really good this year. And I think, scoring is Isaac McNeely. You normally don't hear about freshmen for Virginia, but Isaac McNeely, he played in a pack line system, so he's used to the defense, so that's the big hurdle normally for Virginia freshmen. And then I think he'll give them the scoring they need with guys like Beekman, Jaden Gardner, and that Kihei Clark's 12th year in college.
A quick fact check we're getting here from Mr. Titel. Greg McDermott, 6-10 career in the NCAA tournament. So
not so good.
Not so good. I hate to say that the puppet might have been right here, but Rocco, let's finish things off here with the Indiana Hoosiers completing an East region of Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, and Indiana, which would be amazing just in terms of the Blue Bloods there. But your thoughts on this whole Fort Line, I guess, and everything we've done so far.
You had a lot of fun with that region there in the East there, Chad.
Yeah, I kind of did. It may move things around a little bit just to pull that off, yeah.
Those tickets in the Garden might be tough to get. But, Indiana obviously getting a lot of hype in the Big Ten. We talked about it a little bit on the Big Ten preview show, I believe, where I'm just not as sold as the consensus on them.
Me neither.
I'm definitely sold. They're a tournament team. But effectively relying on the same core guys that got to the playing game last year. Now we're expecting them to take this quantum leap. I understand that the Big Ten, the top of the Big Ten is wide open and that gives them that opportunity. But I just don't think they'll win with consistency. I think there'll be a couple blips in the radar throughout the year, and that will ultimately cost them a protected seed from what I can see today.
All right. From here on out, we're going to go one full seed line at a time. So I'll go all 4 of the 5 seeds. Let's go, Dorman. Let me go back to you here for the 5 line. First of all, where I have a couple more Big Ten teams in Michigan and Illinois, along with a couple SEC teams in Arkansas and A&M. You wanted more SEC, didn't you?
I did. I was calling for the SEC. I think Arkansas is closer to the 4 line. I'm really high on this Arkansas team. I know they're young. I love Musselman as a coach. I think they are having a big year. Illinois, I think, is a team to watch out in the Big Ten. They got 2 transfers in from Baylor and a stud freshman that can really propel Illinois. They're really high on this team in the area. And Michigan, I don't see as high as the 5 seed. I had them closer to the 7 line. I could see him having a good year. Juwan Howard's son is supposed to make a huge impact on this team, but I didn't have him this high.
Yeah, really good job by Juwan Howard landing his son on the team. A big addition there. And I think Arkansas is really raw. I think it might take them a while to get going because they have so many new players, although they're talented. I just wanted to say real quick, they did play a charity exhibition against Texas, and any Arkansas fan that donated to that charity should ask for their money back. It was just a...
It's charity, Griggs. Come on, it's charity. Matt, real quick, what about this Michigan team though? Are you with Dorman that I have them overrated here?
Yeah, I have them on my 7 line. Door. Like, I think it'd be a solid team, but man, outside of Hunter Dickinson, you're asking Jalen Llewellyn taking a step up, or a guy like Cody Bufkin's got to take a step up in year 2, and I don't think Terrence Williams is anything more than kind of a role player. That's where I think they're going to be decent, and I think, yeah, the coach and son's actually be the second best player by the end of the year, Jet Howard. But, like, okay. I still like the more 6-7 line. And then there's some glaring teams, I think, that have not been mentioned yet. That,
well, let's take a look at the 6th line. Let me, Titel, let me go to you with the 6th line here, including Arizona's potential second-round opponent. I've got Purdue, Miami, San Diego State, and Villanova here on the 6th line.
So you're giving me Duke and Villanova without Krzyzewski and Wright. Thanks for being a year late on that, Chad. I love the Arizona-San Diego State matchup, not for our chances at winning, because the Aztecs are going to be very good this year. For all you Dayton lovers, I think the Aztecs could be as good as far as teams outside the Power Five. And I'm glad that it's not in that game is not in California, I don't think. I don't know what to think about Miami. Like, I really thought their whole athletic program was going to be upgraded like threefold after all the NIL money, but their football team's been mediocre at best. And I know they got Nigel Pack and they're pairing him with Isaiah Wong and other stuff. So I hope they can bring it. Otherwise, Dayton is winning that game.
I got to say this about the Canes. This was an Elite Eight team last year that returned a lot and added a lot. And I love their coach, Jim Larranaga, very much proven. I'm really big on the Canes. I mean, they're not even in the top 25 right now. So I'm not the only. So am I the only
one that really likes this Miami team? We've got 24 teams on the board already. So we have most of the preseason top 25 up here. So we're going to be going outside of top 25s already very soon here.
Yeah, but what is it that I'm missing? Why isn't everybody really big on this team? They're good.
They don't have much inside. That's where like that's why I have them like as a 6'7". He's like, I love their guards. And I think your guards can take you pretty far, but you need to have something inside. And unfortunately, like their inside players graduated. I don't think they've been totally adequately replaced.
Rocco, what about the other two teams here? What about Purdue and Villanova here on a six-ish type of teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sold high on Purdue. I picked them to win the league and be a three seed at this point. So, and that's more or less like I think whoever wins the Big Ten will have a good resume and should be about a three or a four. But yeah, there's like five different opinions on who that could be. I'm on Purdue, so we're going there. But Villanova, I'm right in this range. I've actually got him as one of the higher sevens. I just think with the injuries and the challenging schedule right out of the gates, they could end up with four or five losses by early December. And I do think later in the year, they're going to be very tough. And they are my pick to win the Big East tournament. But even by then, they would still, we know how the process works. The committee will be done with most of their work and they'll still land as like six or seven. It'd be very, very dangerous to be everybody's pick to go to the Blue Day.
Stalika, let me go to you as we reveal the seven line here. We've got Texas Tech, UConn,
and two
more SEC teams in Alabama and Auburn.
Not UConn.
I think we're probably underselling Auburn here as far as number seven right here. Texas A&M, I'm not so certain I would have had them that high. I mean, granted, they finished last year playing like they were on fire in the SEC. I don't know how consistent they're going to be in the regular season. Auburn, they do have a few question marks, although Texas Tech is another team that's potentially being undersold here at the seven.
Yeah. Matt, I looked at, I'm looking at the SEC. I've got this kind of four-team group here of Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M that, yeah, I got a seed line separated because I had to get some other teams in there. But I think it's a real interesting battle for beyond Kentucky in this conference.
It is. I think, Kentucky and Tennessee alike is the first two. I actually have Alabama as my third team and actually a fairly clear third team.
Really?
I have Alabama three line. I buy this squad. I think the next kind of freshman Brandon Miller, Mark Sears coming in at the point, hit some shots. And I think the guy to watch out for, he didn't fit in Texas Tech system. He was injured last year, but Damari Burnett was a five-star recruit at one point. I think he thrives. He should have probably just gone to Alabama right off the bat. They were his runner-up the first time. I think he thrives in that system, and that I think there are going to be a lot like that Alabama team 2 years ago with like Brandon Miller, kind of Herb Jones, X-Factor, point guard on offense, Swiss Army knife on defense. And then I think Charles Bediako takes a nice step up in year two. And I think that's going to be very similar to the Alabama team 2 years ago. They're going to be really good.
I am noticing one other thing here as far as the bracket. Baylor fans are not going to be pleased with what Chad
Not at all having to play Alabama and Birmingham, but the rules would actually say that should be done there.
Correct.
Griggs, real quick, UConn on this line as well. Though you groaned when they came up on the screen.
Well, I mean, it's nothing against them. I just don't like our friend Lee Del Vecchio to be happy. I was hoping down the line.
So you're not fighting them there?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. No, that's a good – that seems about right.
Okay. Dorman, let me bring you back in here for the eight seeds. We've got Pac-12 teams in Oregon and USC along with Florida State and Oklahoma State. Which Griggs convinced me during our Big 12 preview show to actually have this high in the bracket.
I am a little higher on Oregon than most. I actually had him on the sixth line. I think the the bottom of the middle and the bottom of the pack are so weak. I think Oregon and UCLA are going to collect a lot of wins. I agree with USC here, or maybe even a little lower, but I'm high on this Oregon Duck team. Florida State and Oklahoma State, right around where I have them. I have them pegged on the 8-9 lines.
All right, so you agree with me. Rocco, do you agree with me? Well, can we move on to another line?
I'm kind of with you on I think Florida State, I'm pretty close. Looks like I have Florida State at 9. Oklahoma State, I think the other three are a little aggressive for me. Okay. I have USC, I'm very torn on. Bubble in, but I think first four for me. And then Oregon, a lot is still unknown, but I think they've got two or three really key injuries, and they might come out of the gates very slow.
So you're the opposite, Dorman. You think I have Oregon too high.
Yeah, I have Oregon at 10 right now.
Okay.
And that's based on, I think they'll get better later, but I think they could start really rocky. They got blown out by Oklahoma in their scrimmage. And I don't even have Oklahoma as a tournament team. For whatever scrimmages are worth.
We're not Oklahoma State.
No, he's talking about playing Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Gotcha. Yeah.
And then Oklahoma State, I do think, is a tournament team. But again, I've got them down on the 10 line. So I think you're aggressive on all three of those.
All right. Again, it was Griggs' fault that Oklahoma State ended up wearing white. He really talked me into that during our
preseason. I was correct. Not my fault. My correct. There's a team that we haven't seen yet that you may have pulled out here, Chad. It's one we discussed yesterday. I don't know if we'll see them on this line or not.
If you're talking about teams we discussed yesterday, I think you'll see them. Probably see them on the 9 or the 10 line. I think I know what you're talking about. But
yeah.
Tytel, let me ask you about my 9 lines. We actually see potential first round matchups now. Oregon's opponent is Ohio State. USC's is St. Louis. Florida State's is Iowa. And Oklahoma State is Sleeka Xavier Musketeers.
These games are historically a coin toss. I'll leave the Xavier game for the other John. As far as the matchups, I think St. Louis is a dangerous little team. Not to upset Gonzaga, but I think they're beating USC, even though they got to travel out to California to do so. And Oregon, Ohio State... I think I'm going anti-Pac-12 with this whole line just because that's a long road.
Yeah, it is. Sleeka, you have thoughts on Xavier or anybody else on this that I put on this line?
I mean, it's noteworthy that Xavier did actually beat Oklahoma State last year in Stillwater as part of the Big East Big 12 series. Granted, those were with different rosters. We're not even going to discuss what Xavier did last night, where I know the final score said they won by 18, but they look like dog crap for about 35 minutes in that one.
Matt, do you think I got it right, though? Are these four teams here 9 seed-ish?
Yeah, this is actually right about like 8-9 seed. I like all of them I have here. And I think other than maybe Florida State, I like them better than the 8 seeds.
Okay. With that, though, then, Rocco, let me bring you back in here for the 10 line. Should be popping up right now. I've got Providence, St. Mary's, Tulane, and a little in-state rivalry there between Auburn and UAB.
Yeah, so Providence and St. Mary's, I would have higher than you.
Okay.
I'm a firm believer Providence has enough back, and they have so much upward momentum from last year. I think they'll do even better than a 10 seeds. And same with St. Mary's. Lose a few guys, but they got some great guys waiting in the wings. It's going to be fun to watch them. I'll have their game on opening night, so stay tuned. But Tulane, I love Tulane. I've got them in the field as well. Not on the 10 line, but close enough. Let's do it. Go Green Wave.
Yeah.
And then UAB, very much, they're like my best 11 seeds. So I'm good with the those two picks right where they're at.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. If Tulane lands inside the bubble, should Ron Hunter be just put in the Hall of Fame right now?
Yeah. Dorman, let me bring you in here and bring up the 11 seeds as well here. They should be coming up right now. We've got Wyoming. Yes. We've got Michigan
there
State.
Are.
We've
there
got the Drake.
And the Drake. Yes. Love the Drake.
Two teams I'm very high on here is also, as David just pointed out, Drake, but I'm also big. I know I'm going to hear it. I know I'm high in the Mountain West. Wyoming. I'm really high on this Wyoming team. I like the experience. I like the guard play. And I think they have a chance to really play well in the Mountain West and maybe even do better than this 11 seed. I'm thinking maybe 9 or 10 is attainable.
Dorman, I am right there with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished in the top half of the bracket. I think they're one of the many teams that is not in the top 25 now that the voters just haven't discovered yet. I mean, if we're going to rank Indiana 13th for the first four and bringing everybody back, then why aren't we ranking Wyoming? Well, I know why, but
I'm with you.
It's a rhetorical question. I think this is a very good Wyoming team. I could see them finish even higher than where Chad has them.
Matt, what about the other two teams? What about Michigan State and VCU?
I have Michigan State actually a little bit higher in my bracket. I don't think they have a huge, huge ceiling, but they bring most everyone back, and it's a solid team. And like I said, I think they were something like they're like a seven seed range last year, yeah. And I think they'll be 6 or 7. VCU I considered, but I don't have in my bracket. But they were a team I considered. I don't think it's outrageous that they're in, and that.
Yeah, VCU was. I mean, we're right at the bubble here. We actually there's only four at large teams left. Just the first four left after this. But Sleeker, real quick, get a thought on Wyoming.
There are not many teams in the NCAA where you can go down 2,000 feet in elevation to the Mile High City, but Wyoming is the exception.
They're gonna be scoring like crazy with that. Not being out of that, being out of the light air of Wyoming, yeah. Right? Jeez. Titel.
Maldonado. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to show the first of our first four matchups here. Just two teams propping up here. Titel, I've got Illinois' opponent being the winner of a Florida-Notre Dame first four game. Your thoughts on those two teams?
Fascinating. A lot of good coaches going on in Orlando there. I think that I'll give the edge to Mike Bray just because he did pretty well last year in the play-in game. I don't see any Piscataway teams yet here. Do I, Chad?
No, you don't see any Piscataway teams yet. You know, real quick on this Florida-Notre Dame, though, Rocco, do you think that these are right there? These are bubble type of teams?
They potentially could be. I think Notre Dame certainly is. Yeah. I have a little more faith in Florida. I got to see them practice a couple weeks ago, and I think they have an embarrassment of riches in terms of depth. They just need a couple guys to really step up and be alpha dogs. But I think they're too deep to fall to the bubble. I think they're closer to like a 7 or an 8.
Okay, let's see who Texas A&M's opponent is going to be in the East region, Griggs. That would be the winner of a first four game between Rutgers and Colorado State.
Colorado State?
Yes, I stuck another Mountain West team in there. Go ahead. Rip me apart of that one.
Well, no, I kind of like the Rutgers pick. I'm not quite sold on Colorado State, but, you know, who knows? Too many questions right now. I don't think you got the right Mountain West team. During the preview. I mean, this is a team that nearly doubled its win total. They had their best finish in the
We are not talking San Jose State on this podcast, okay? Before I go to the rest of the field here, I want to show you that my top four teams out were Oklahoma, who we mentioned a little bit, BYU, Virginia Tech, and Seton Hall. And let me just go before I go any further here, with these four teams, Dorman, let me start with you. You know, would one of these four belong in here over somebody else that I put in?
I only can use those four.
Or throw somebody else out there for me also. I mean, yeah, anybody else I may have missed.
Memphis?
Well, Memphis, I have zero faith in Memphis. I have zero faith in them, and I intentionally left them off of this field. Yes, they're not there.
I'm a little higher in Oklahoma than I think you are. I think Oklahoma is probably a little stronger team right now than Rutgers. And possibly Notre Dame. I had Oklahoma as one of my last four in, but I don't have a lot of disagreement with what you got there.
All right. Let me bring up the rest of the ones that I actually put on my under consideration list. Memphis is there, actually. Along with Boise State, Wisconsin, Iowa State, NC State, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Colorado, and the Hartford Hawks. Of course, you know, it's the last chance to ever be under consideration. But Rocco, I saw you shaking your head. Go ahead, rip me apart here.
I saw Hartford immediately.
Okay.
and they sadly have a Division III roster this year, and I'll be shocked if they come within 20 points of anybody.
But as Centenary Award winners, they would be on our under consideration list at Hoops HD. So hey,
yes,
yeah. I mean, that's a great way to start the year for anybody. No, a team I have in the field that I don't see anywhere is, you know, I know I'm reaching a little bit, but I do like, even though they lost Alondis Williams, I love what Steve Forbes is building. He did a much better job this year scheduling, safe scheduling moves, but also it'll help his metrics a lot. And I just got a feeling that Wake Forest is going to sneak their way in. And I do think Virginia Tech, like if I was doing power ratings, I would have Virginia Tech above Wake Forest. But if you look at the Virginia Tech's schedule besides the Dayton home game, it's really, really bad. Like they might end up in the 300s. And to me, that kicked Virginia Tech out by one spot. And I went with Wake because of that.
All right. Tytel, your thoughts on these last teams, and if there's somebody that also not even on the board that we should have put in, or somebody that I left out that really should be in.
Going back to Doran's point, I'm conflicted on Memphis too. Like I like them, but I've liked them before and jumped off their bandwagon because they proved me wrong. And then I should have stayed because they ended up making a run in March. Like, I don't know what to think, but I don't think you give Hardaway an 8-figure contract for the heck of it. So I think that they believe in it. I know they believe in him, and I do believe in Kendrick Davis. So I think Memphis is making this field.
Matt, one more opinion on it. Anybody else that's missing from the board?
You guys, especially the underrated guys, will enjoy this. I think the Conference USA is going to have two teams in with North Texas. And UAB is legit that good, yeah. And I think North Texas is good enough.
I love the fact that you bring up a second CUSA team, but I would have gone Western Kentucky before North Texas. So
yeah, North
that's
Texas.
I think McCaslin's a great coach, and that's where.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way though. I think North Texas could definitely win the automatic bid. And that could put two teams in that way. But yeah,
we actually discussed this at length yesterday. If you want to check out Under the Radar. We know about North Texas.
Greg, I'm going to quick show the other two 12 seeds here. They are they are automatic bid winners, but two very good Under the Radar teams also in Liberty and Toledo.
Yeah, Liberty might not. They might just blow through the ASUN. It just looks like that they got so much more than everybody else. Toledo, another team that we really liked. We talked about them. We really liked the MAC conference. I think them, Akron, and Kent are going to be – that's going to be a war.
All right. Let's go through the rest of the field here, first of all. Sleeka, the 13-line automatic bid winners here.
Oh, he's got the Yotes out there.
I have the Yotes, who I love in Summit League. I know I'm in the minority on that, but I like them to win the Summit League over Oral Roberts and over South Dakota State. I got Grand Canyon, I got Towson, and I got Iona on this line.
Yeah, not surprising that Iona, not Manhattan, is going to be in there as far as the Metro Atlantic. Granted, was discussed last night. But also, Towson is another team that would appear to finally be breaking through. This would be, I think, their first NCAA tournament appearance since 1990, if my research is correct.
It probably is correct. Still, like, if somebody walked up to me on the street and said, who would know when Towson's last NCAA tournament was, I would call you on the spot.
The only reason I remember is that because they were a 16 that lost to Ohio. That would have been 1991.
I'll tell you what, we got the magic up here in the workbook. We can go here. 1991, last NCAA tournament appearance. Yeah. There we go. All right. The 14 line here. Dorman, we've got Colgate, we've got Louisiana, we've got your Arizona team taking on UC Santa Barbara, and I've got the Furman Paladins in here. The heartbreak last year for Furman in the conference tournament.
Go ahead. Sorry, man.
I think that's actually a little too low for Furman. I have them on by one of the 12 non-play-ins. I think they might be, again, I don't know if they get it at large, but at least have a good enough record to where they should merit consideration, and I think will be a 13 at worst.
Okay.
As long as they win the conference tourney.
I got to throw this out here for you. Here's the 15 line, and they're playing Baylor is your Penn Quakers. along with Northern Kentucky Bryant and Northern Colorado on this line. I know that Northern Colorado picking the Big Sky Rockos wants to kill me for that one, right?
It does. I appreciate a little Penn love. They are picked preseason number one in the Ivy League, and I hope they can get it done, although – the Ivy tourney this year shifts to Jadwin Gymnasium in Princeton, New Jersey, where it was supposed to be 2 years ago, but COVID has postponed it. So hopefully we do not have to play the Tigers with a title on the line.
Yeah. Rocco, on the other three teams here.
On the Northern Colorado pick, I mean, if that happens, I think the country is going to be excited because I think Daniel Coons could definitely lead the country in scoring, and the wide open three-point style is – is going to scare the crap out of Kansas if they had to face them, just because so many variables if they're hot. It's really fun team to watch.
And that's why I like them. I went with them. I know that they're not the pick to win that conference, but we discussed it last night in the Under the Radar previous show. Quickly, the 16 seeds, there's six of them here. We got UNC Asheville playing North Carolina. Gonzaga again, the winner of a Corpus Christi Southern play-in game. Little Rock out of the OVC getting Houston, and Norfolk State SFPA playing in the other play-in game, which means with Bryant and SFPA, Griggs, we have two Northeast Conference teams in the field, correct?
Yes, yeah, two Northeast Conference teams in the field. That's a great, great boost for that conference.
Bryant now in the America East this year, by the way. Go ahead.
I think Norfolk State might be a little bit – I mean, they might be a little bit better than inside the first four. The MEAC certainly isn't.
They were my top six – top play-in game team, my top 16B team or whatever you want to call that.
Okay, yeah, because – I just think that they're going to have such a bloated record that they avoid the first four.
Okay. Well, on that note, we have our field here. So first one to do is run through each of you for any other thoughts on the field, and then we're going to take this down and go to any other final thoughts. So just on what we've seen here and how this all worked out here, a couple of you. First of all, Stalika, your thoughts on anything else that we see up here?
Well, another thing I would say as far as Cincinnati being a team that could potentially sneak into the field, they do have a decent amount of talents. Now, granted, Wes Miller is going to have to find a way to mesh that talent together, but two other teams that are not on that board that might find their way in, perhaps Loyola Chicago making their A-10 debut. And also be curious to see what St. John's does in the Big East. Does Mike Anderson's team finally make a move?
I see the St. John's more than I see Loyola Chicago this year, personally. But Dorman, what about you? Any other thoughts on the whole picture here?
Yeah, real quickly, for those of you that in that Midwest region in the Denver pod, liking the idea of Arizona playing San Diego State, I believe they are both in the bottom half of that Maui Classic bracket and one win each away from playing each other just in a couple weeks.
Oh, could be a preview. It would be an allowable game. You just can't have regular season rematches in the first round. Yep. So the second round would be fine. Let me see here. Tytel, any other thoughts from you?
My final thought on the bracket is on the East region. If you like rematches in the regular season, then this is your pick. So Kansas plays Duke on November 15th. They play Indiana on December 17th and Kentucky on January 28th.
So there we go. Wow.
Whatever they get, they're going to have some experience with. As far as a final thought, not on the bracket.
Okay, I was going to get to those in a few minutes here, ahead. Actually, because we got one more thing we got to do before we get there. But so save that for a second. Matt, I don't think I asked you for any other thoughts on the bracket, and then Rocco, and then we'll go to there.
I like seeing it. I agree. Like seeing teams like UAB at 10, Drake at 11. And then I think you're going to see, again, especially these veteran teams that bring a lot back, I think they're going to creep up. And even like UAB, I think has potential, if everything goes right, to even be like as high as like a 6 or 7. Like they have that much talent. Andy Kenny's a dang good coach. And so I think you can see some of these teams really rise up the bracket. We're respecting them a lot, and I think they can even jump more than that.
Yeah, and Rocco, I think you had a second Missouri Valley Conference team close to the field, did you not, in terms of other thoughts on the field here?
Yeah, well, I actually picked Southern Illinois to win Arch Madness. And,
okay, that's why you had them there. Okay.
Yeah, so Drake is not far off if that happens. Although Drake tonight in their exhibition game is resting like four starters are injured, so it's really dicey for Drake right now. But beyond that, I would say for both Houston and Baylor, if they do get sent to Birmingham and then Kansas City, both of those are near 700 or 700 plus miles away. One of them in the heart of SEC country, the other one in the heart of Big 12 country. So a lot of talk nationally is about Houston getting back home for the Final Four. Obviously, if Baylor gets there, very close to home for them as well. But it won't be easy for either, based on the fact that the first and second round sites and the regional sites are nowhere near Texas.
Yeah, there's nowhere closer for either of those teams either. Those are the closest you can find them. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I did my process just like this, that's the first thing that sunk in is like there's going to be a lot of talk about these teams getting to Houston, but it's not going to be easy to get there.
All right. On that note, I'm going to run through each of you now with one other question. Two other questions here. First of all, with the bracket down, I want to ask each of you who are your final four and national champion picks, regardless of what the bracket has here. And second of all, any other final thoughts you may have on anything any topics at all. So again, who's your Final Four? Who's your national champion? Any other final thoughts? Titel, I know you're jumping at the gun, so let me start with you.
That's fine. I'll give Rocco the benefit of the doubt. I'll put Houston in my Final Four. I think we have to put Carolina just because they bring back so many people from a national championship runner-up team. I'll go with the Zags because they seem to make a lot of good runs in March. And I don't believe in Kentucky yet, so I'll go with Texas as my four. And for a champ, sorry, Rocco, I can't go Houston. Gonzaga just seems like they always come up just short. I'll go with the Tar Heels only because on paper it looks like they have the talent to do it all, but I know that's not an original pick. As far as a final thought, I'm going to go with one of our exhibition games from tonight, actually, as Jacksonville State beat Auburn Montgomery 101-93. The player that caught my eye is Morehead State transfer Skylar Potter. He had 42 points and 8 of 12 from behind the arc. So this team might be good, but that player might be the player of the year in the conference.
All right. That is the A-Sun conference. Well, you're talking the A-Sun, though, and you've got a guy named Darius McGee at Liberty, though. So
he already won it like twice or something, though.
Okay. Dorman, what about you?
I am going with Gonzaga. Kentucky, I think Oscar in the middle is just a man amongst boys, and he is just going to get it done. I'm going with Houston, and my fourth and final team, probably from the outside, is Arkansas. I love the talent. I love Musselman. I'm going to go with my champion. I'm going with Houston. I love Marcus Sasser. They have an incredible freshman I've heard in Walker, and I just think this team's really hungry. They got snake bit by Villanova last year in the tournament. They just could not hit a shot. They were ice cold. If they hit anything, they'd probably win that game. Sasser's injury, I just think they're really hungry, and I think they can break through and win it all. As far as a final thought on everything, I think there's going to be more under-the-radar conferences that might pop more than one team in the tournament, maybe two. I think the power conferences as a whole, especially the Big Ten, are down a snip. And I think it's going to give some bids to the non-traditional groups that might just sneak in that people aren't seeing as of yet.
Okay. Matt.
All right. So this is going to be boring, but I think like 2008, I'm going all one seeds because I think they are clearly the top four teams in that. So Gonzaga, North Carolina, Houston, and Kentucky. I think actually those four are a decent jump ahead of Baylor. Baylor's the one that I think on paper, if everything clicks, could go right, but I think still has a couple more holes compared to the top four. I'm also going Houston as a national champion over Gonzaga, which would be a fun contest of styles in the title game, but I think, hey, that Houston roster is loaded. You got pros, you got college vets, and that, and I think one name hasn't been mentioned, but I think might be the best pro prospects, freshman Terrence Arsenault. So, yeah. Now, that Houston team, they're really good. They have no weaknesses, and I think Kelvin Sampson gets himself a ring this year.
All right. Sleeka.
If we do end up with the West Regional of Gonzaga and UCLA, we're not going to be able to include both of them in the Final Four. So I think with that being said, I'll give UCLA an edge over Gonzaga. I would also include North Carolina. I don't think Kansas is going to repeat, so I'm going to take Baylor as the third Final Four team. And I would say Texas would be my wild card out of that group. But as far as a national champion, I'm going to go ahead and give the edge to UCLA right here.
UCLA national champion. I'll throw out here our good friend Brian Black, who couldn't be with us tonight. He sent me his Final Four. He's got Arizona, Gonzaga, Villanova, and Virginia with the Zags winning all. Wow, so Villanova, bit of a surprise there, team. Rocco.
Yeah, so Final Four, I will go with Houston as well to get there, despite my long-winded response about the top 30 to get there. I will also go with, and I'm just going to pick off my bracket to make it fun. I'll agree with Titel on Texas. I think, Beard has rebuilt this team, learned a lot of lessons from last year, and obviously looked good in the exhibition, so could really take some teams by storm in the tournament. For the third team, I'll take Baylor again. Since my long-winded answer, I teed you guys up. And then I'll put UCLA in there as well. I've got Houston beating UCLA in the championship. I just think them playing at home. I do think my concern with Houston in the tournament is they're not really a great shooting team. They almost miss on purpose sometimes because they love rebounding so much that could doom them in any given round. But outside of that, I mean, this team is built to win the title. And my overall final thought is on the bid situation, I think that there's a lot of unforeseen circumstances. Like last year, I can't remember if it was Iowa or Wisconsin or both to miss the tournament at the start of the year. I'm not making that mistake again. They made me look silly. I think a team like Wisconsin, they'll bring in a guy like a Chucky Hepburn and some other guys. And a lot of us can't see it right now. We'll pick them ninth or 10th, but they'll end up finishing in prime position for like a top four Big Ten seed. There's also a bunch of rosters in Power Five world, like LSU, Mississippi State, Maryland. We're not talking about right now, but there's a lot of talent and new coaches. A team or two like that are going to get a spot. So there's just a lot of things we're not really thinking about right now that I do think by the end it'll shake out to kind of a more Power Five, unfortunately heavy at large bid field.
All right. Before I go to Griggs for our final picks here, I'll go with my own personal picks here. I'm going with the Zags in the Final Four. I'm going with Baylor. I'm going with Kentucky. I'm going with Houston. Where I'm going to deviate for everybody is I'm taking Kentucky to win it all. I'm going with Coach Cal this year. Wow. It's been 3 million years since they won it. He's had, he's definitely on the hot seat. So, Griggs, let you finish things off here with your picks here.
Well, Kentucky is also my pick to win it all. They were my pick to win it all going into the NCAA tournament last year. It didn't happen, you may recall, but they were still really, really good. They had better wins during the regular season. I thought they won more games that were harder to win than anybody else. They went to Kansas, who did win it all, and blew them off the floor. I think they have enough of that back, plus enough new pieces to be that good again. We've seen teams lose inexplicably in the round of 64 and then win it all the following year. I can't think of an example of that. I wish Joby was here. He would be able to win it. But yeah, I like Kentucky to win it all. I like Gonzaga to get back to the Final Four. It seems like they're in it more than they're out of it these days. I wasn't going to take Houston because I just wasn't sure if they'd be tested enough during the season, but it's impossible for me to not take them when you look at how physical they are, how talented they are, and the success that they've had in the last two tournaments. I think Houston gets there. And my fourth, I'm going back and forth between Texas and Baylor. I really like both of them. I think I'm going to go with the Horns. And again, it's something that I alluded to when you were revealing the bracket. Chris Beard, it's like when he's not expected to do anything, he does extremely well. And when he's expected to do well, he does even better. I think Texas is really, really good this year. Final thought, I'm going to try to not pontificate too much, but if you've been looking at the Division I Transformation Committee that's been proposed that NCAA championships will all be expanded, at least at the Division I level, to include roughly 25% of the teams for the men's and women's basketball tournaments, that would be a 96-team field. I'm against this for all. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. One of the biggest reasons I'm against it isn't that I don't think it would ruin the tournament, although I think the tournament would not be as good, as much as it would ruin how awesome the regular season is that plays into the tournament. Everyone on this panel knows that the tournament that we just revealed, the final one, won't look anything like that. Things are going to happen.
What are you talking about? Wait, I got it wrong? Yeah. What?
Of course you did. We all did. But, as the person that writes up the games every day, with maybe the exception of the first few days this year, I just love how the season plays out. I love where the games are that have tournament implications. There's games that have tournament implications as early as November. And if you increase the size of the field by 50%, I just don't think you get that energy, that importance, the stakes that you get during the regular season now. I do think the regular season needs fixing, or at least a tune-up, as far as how scheduling works and getting other teams opportunities, less non-D1 opponents, things of that nature. But the size of the field is fine. I don't think there's anything more Goldilocks in all of sports. It's just right. End of thought.
Okay. Well, on that note, well, real quickly, I did tally as we went through our picks here, and just if we want to do with a consensus pick here, the four teams that got the most love to make the Final Four were Houston, Gonzaga, Texas, and Kentucky, and the team with the most love to win it all was Houston. So that would be our consensus picks by the panel here, at least. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for all of our preseason coverage. Beginning middle of next week, we'll start with our regular podcast, and we'll have at least one, two, three a week, who knows how many, content every day. But you want any of our other preseason coverage, it's up there on the season previews tab. But on behalf of David Griggs, John Stalica, to my sides, David Dorman in the center square, Matt Zukowski, Rocco Miller, check him out also at bracketeer.org. Tons of great preseason content there as well. John Titel down in the bottom line there. Shadow Stevens somewhere in here as well, I think. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again real soon.